When are we really strong? When are we at our full strength? There's a very prominent political mantra that's in our country today that says, make America great again. Make America strong. There's a lot of claims about what has been done to do that and some that about what hadn't. And I'm not here to either argue for it or against it. I just want to use it as an illustration today to ask you this question. How can we make our life of faith and our congregation strong in the Lord? Christian believers look around us and see the struggles that are raised against the church today in our world. And you hear many people say, oh, the church has been weakened. The world is strong against us. Well, I want to ask you a question today. How do we make ourselves strong in the service of Jesus Christ? I would say to you that it's probably not the way that you first think. You see that this passage of Scripture is about a man named Uzziah. Uzziah made himself strong as the king of Judah. But when he walked in the way that he made himself strong, he ruined himself. Read with me this passage of Scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 14, 15, and 16. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Father, I beg today that you would help us to see in the life of this man that's recorded for us the great necessity that we have to really be strong in the Lord. I beg, Father, that you would open our eyes, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us with understanding, and you would give me liberty to preach, and that our hearts would be convinced and convicted and humbled. And as we stand in humility before the Lord, that we might truly know that the Lord is our strength. Help us for Christ's sake, for your glory's sake, and for our work in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, and amen. I'm going to begin looking at this passage of Scripture this morning. It's very possible that I won't finish We'll come back to it again. I was laughing with Brother Ray as we began this. We arrived this morning. The longer I thought on this passage of Scripture yesterday, the more involved it became, and the more convicted I became. And I trust the Lord will bless us to look today at this statement about the man Uzziah. Now that name may be familiar to you. You may be sitting there thinking, now where in the Bible have I heard that before? Well, I would say to you that it is a name that is associated with a very familiar passage of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we find there that in the writing of the prophet Isaiah, it's recorded that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now that's the familiar part of that passage of Scripture. Isaiah saw a grand view of the glory of the Lord. And he heard the heavenly praise that was declared, that rang from one to another. But it occurred in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, I want you to go back with me to the beginning of his reign. Uzziah, we're told in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in the third verse of that chapter, that he was 16 years old. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. Now, the fact that he started when he was 16 is a little startling given our understanding of maturity and leadership and the responsibilities that go with it. But here was a man who started when he was 16 years old, and the verse says he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. So in that passage of Scripture that Isaiah declared and said, in the year that King Uzziah died, we're talking about a lifetime of service into the people of God, a lifetime of a reign. And we're told in the fourth verse that as he began, and this sentence is a statement that is made regarding his 52-year tenure, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, Uzziah was a very successful king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. There are those statements among the kings of Israel and Judah where it says that they did that as, like with Amaziah, who was his father before him, he did what was right. Sometimes there was a father or a father and a grandfather that had not done, and it went back and said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as did David, his father. Here was a man who, we're told in the ensuing verses, that he built up cities, he fought off enemies, he reestablished the land of Judah in a time of peace. And then we're told in the first two verses that as God blessed him, he armed his army with the best equipment, helmets and spears and shields and slings. You remember David using a sling to cast a stone at Goliath. All personal equipment was provided for his soldiers. And then we're told something else about him. He used the most modern technology. He used engines that were cunningly devised. Now, our idea of an engine is like what drives a car or what pulls a locomotive. But the idea of an engine here, think back to the old pictures that you may have seen of a catapult. That upon which stones or some other equipment was loaded, and then when the rope was tripped, it slung it out toward, that's a good old southern word, isn't it? It slung it out toward those people. They put arrows in it and fired many at one time. They put stones and threw large stones. It was times when they would put balls of material and set them on fire and throw the fire at the adversary. But you see, he had the greatest contemporary technology. Personal equipment, weapons to be admired in an army. And he became strong. And yet, we're told when he was strong, his strength brought about his destruction. You see, his strength made him feel like, well, God's blessed me. I want to go into the temple and I want to be the one to burn the offering. Well, the priest was the one that was supposed to burn the offering. And in his success, he decided that he would do something more. Well, my point to you this morning, folks, is that the ability to do more in our hands is not always the greatest success for the church. Now, I'm not saying that we should not have the best. We had the technology this morning in which we were blessed by Emerson using it and us being able to rejoice and seeing him sing and hearing the word. There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. We didn't have that technology. We would not be able to share that as easily. We have equipment and comfort. But I would say to you today, folks, that that's not really when we're at full strength. I want to ask you to look with me today at a description that's given to us in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And I may very well use this verse and then stop and come back later. Romans chapter 7, verses 22 through 25. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Notice this expression. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, the speaker in this passage, and the one who makes the declaration in this passage, is the man whom we know as the Apostle Paul. A man who began as a Pharisee named Saul. A man who was belligerent toward the church of Jesus Christ. A man who brought about the death of Stephen and others. We're not told how many it was. But a man who, in the midst of his own self, in the midst of his own strength, was changed. And he became a man who stood in the face of the Romans. He was beaten by the Roman army on occasion. He was arrested by the Roman army. He was tried in a Roman court. He was carried as a prisoner on a Roman ship. He was a man who was abused physically by Jewish leaders in different towns. There were those that stoned him and thought he was dead, and they left him to die and walked away. There were those in Gentile cities who stirred up trouble from one town to the next and followed Paul to try to silence him. What I want you to see is here was a man who was a man of boldness. Here was a man who was a man of strength. Here was a man who did not back down to anybody. And yet, we find this statement made, "In my inner man." He makes the statement, Paul makes the statement that relates to Uzziah. In his inner man, he desired and he delighted in the law of God. Uzziah started as a 16-year-old and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. If you read those ensuing verses, he tore down the idolatrous places that his ancestors had built. He tore down high places. He tore down altars. He took down idols. He cleaned house. He delighted after the law of God. And yet, at his political strength, financial strength, social strength, pride strength, he brought about his own fall. You see, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul was a man who had great authority from the Sanhedrin Council in Jerusalem. He was recognized in varied cities, and he went from place to place to place. And yet he was blinded. At his prideful recognition, in his highest place, he was brought down. And Paul recognized himself and he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I would say to you today, folks, that it is when we keep in our minds that we are the wretched men, who though we may in our inner heart, the heart that's been regenerated by God, the heart that's been called in Jesus Christ, the heart that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, though we may in our inner heart desire the law of God, yet there is within us and within our flesh what Paul would say in another place, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am. I read one time where there was an individual who made the statement that said, oh, we don't need to tell people about sin. We need to tell them how that God's made them better. They're good now. No, Paul said, I'm a wretched man. Paul always understood the weakness that was in his flesh. He was a dynamo of activity. He traveled all over the world. And he did it before there was an airplane. And he did it before there was a locomotive. And he did it the hard way. But he never stopped. He kept preaching. And yet Paul never lost sight of what he was. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. He said, I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Second expression. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 8, he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, this man who was the dynamic preacher and powerful author of those books that we hold and read and draw from today, this man saw himself always to be the least of all things. Except he saw himself to be the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the principal one. I'm the sinnest one. If there hadn't been anybody else, I'm the one for whom Jesus died. And you see, folks, Paul, as God used him in his great power, Paul was a man who kept to his focus, his weakness. Here was a man who he didn't reach the place that Uzziah reached. Uzziah thought, well, I've accomplished all this. I'd walk right up to the altar and I'll offer the sacrifice. I'll offer the incense. I'll do this and I'll do... Paul said, no, I'm the least. I'm the smallest. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm not worthy to be called or recognized as the great one. I'm less than the least of the saints. I'm the least apostle. And yet that man, who had in front of him the recognition of his weakness, is the same one to whom God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to skip ahead and go ahead and go to this passage of Scripture and close this morning with this. And I'm going to save the rest of it for some other time. This man who recognized himself to be weak. Now, let me just ask you a question this morning. How many of us here could say, well, that's me. I look at my life and I'm weak. I see my sin. I know what I have done. I know what I'm prone to do now. Folks, do you understand that it's as we keep that view of ourselves that we are at our strongest in the service of God? Recognizing what we have failed in doesn't make us a failure. Recognizing our weakness puts us at the place that Paul was brought to when God said to him, the Lord Jesus said to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect." It's made complete. It's made whole in weakness. In your weakness, my strength is manifested. In your strength, in what you do, you're manifested. It's when you're out of the picture, my strength is shown forth at its greatest manifestation. Now, Paul had prayed three times that God was going to take this messenger of Satan away from him. But there's an interesting statement made back in verse 7. "Lest I should be," get this, "lest I should be exalted above measure through abundance of the revelations," or of the things that God has shown to me, "lest people see me, lest I think of myself above where I ought to think of myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, who do you think allowed that thorn to take its place? Who do you think allowed that messenger to compete against Paul? Who do you think gave him that thorn to keep him from being exalted above measure? You see, folks, the reality of the grace of God is that and that alone, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, is the only sufficiency for our strength. We can have any technology, we can have any contemporary device, we can have all that can be devised by the most cunning men. But without the power of the Spirit of God that's given to us by God's grace in Jesus Christ, without that, we are at our weakest, because we are subject to lift up ourselves and fall. My grace is sufficient for thee. How many times have I rejoiced that my salvation is by the grace of God? That Jesus loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. One who would compete with Paul be the chief sinner. How many times have I stood with the Word of God in front of a family, grieving, hurting, having lost someone that was dear to them, to be able to say, God's grace is sufficient
at the time of death.
You see, God's grace is sufficient in life that called me out of death's darkness. He quickened me and brought me to life. His grace is sufficient for me to die by when I lay down and draw my final breath, because He said, I will lose nothing but would raise it up again at the last day. But folks, the thing that just grew in my mind yesterday, and I'm cutting about half of this out, I'll save it for later. But the thing that just overwhelmed me yesterday was that which starts my life, and that which holds me till the very last of my life upon this earth, is the power that governs my life and gives me strength and holds me forth in my weakness to be a testimony of His grace. Without that, I'm at my weakest. By that, I'm in the fullness of His strength, and He handles everything I have to handle. When are we? Let's all politically, let's make this country great economically. Let's do that militarily. Let's do this socially. We need to try this. I'm going to tell you, spiritually, as the Church of Jesus Christ, the strength that we need is ours in the Holy Ghost. We are given a power because Jesus said, if I go, I will send another Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And that Spirit that's within us today is our strength. I'm going to tell you, folks, that which makes us strong is not the cunning engines like Uzziah made. That which makes us successful is not the weapons which He provided. That which makes us big is not the walls and the buildings like He made. That which makes us strong is the One who conquered death. The biggest adversary we face, it's the devil. You know what? Jesus took away from him the control of the very thing he thought he had. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus said, I'm the one that holds the keys of death, of hell, and the grave. And he who had the strength to control hell and the grave is the sufficient strength. First of all, to forgive our sins. Secondly, to guide our service. Thirdly, to hold our faith. But overall, He is the one who is our strength. I'll tell you, the strength of the church lies not in the money that she had, lies not in the preacher that stands in front, or the ones that sit in the pew. When all of us together lose sight of the fact that we have to say with Paul, oh wretched man that I am, that my deliverance comes, I thank God through Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, our strength. Folks, we have all the strength that we need. May we depend upon it. May we trust it. May we lean upon it. And nothing else. Maybe you're here today and know that